December 15, 2020, it's the Waffle Pedro Show. Wafa Pedro show. Started off with John Coltrane winning his 9 months with Thelonious Monk. People. This is when he kicked the shit, and he goes back to play with Miles another shift, but then he goes on to his own thing. So very important. And it's Blue Monk Live. And then Gareth Sager after that, High Wasters Hanging Low from his brand new record. And yeah, quit Quarantino Mode, Brother Matt at the Love Grotto, a couple miles south, Pleasure Point. But I am not totally man alone because of the wonders of those Estonian software engineers with their righteous Skype invention. I got Gareth Sager with me in London.
Hi, kids.
Yeah.
How's it happening in the real world? The real world, you know? Yeah.
Right, in the real world, and we've been cheating a little bit, people. We were talking ahead of going on air, so you haven't got to hear all of our conversation.
Yeah, you said you don't want to hear that crap. For my son.
Right. Now, High Wasters Hanging Low.
Right, well, do you know what a pair of high wasters is?
Oh, you mean like pants?
Yeah, double meaning, baby. Like you said earlier, you use a knife to stab your best mate or cut the steak.
That's right. Okay. Or cut rope.
Yeah. If you look at David Bowie on Soul Train in about 1974, he's wearing a classic pair of high wasters.
That's
what all us people that went on to become punk rockers, that's what we were wearing before punk rock.
Now you're like the belt is like right below your tits, right? And the zippers. I've seen those pants.
Look how many buttons it had. The waistband on really extreme ones had, you know, four buttons on one side and four on another. So it is literally, you're right, just below your tits.
Right, and the zippers.
You had a pair of 6-inch platform boots at the bottom of it that still only made me 5'8". So.
So I remember seeing these pants in the thrift stores. They would have zippers that were like a fucking foot long because they were so high up there. Now, we had a slang word for if you showed your socks because you held your pants real high, and those were called high waters.
Right. Well, these high waisters have a really, you know, wide all the way down from the hips down to your platform boots. As I said, if you look at all, Bowie's got the best pair ever on a version of Soul Train. But everybody wore them and went dancing to soul music in Bristol. But I know London, I know Steve Jones and the Sex Pistols guys were into sort of similar sort of scene. So, it was, you know, not so much Northern England because it's not so racially mixed up there, but, certainly down where we were.
What's Northern Soul?
Northern Soul is a place called Wigan, which isn't very far from Manchester. And for some reason, I think they had about three really great hip DJs up in the Northwest that used to play a lot of black music. I think there's a famous club in Manchester called something, Spinning Wheel or something. And anyway, somebody will know the history a million times better than me, but, some point, I think in the mid-70s or something, this in Wigan, a place called Wigan Casino, they started playing these songs that all basically got the Tamla Motown boom chick, boom chick, boom chick beats. And people used to take speed and dance all night in really extravagant dancing. The nearest thing the British had to what came with, you know, with the hip-hop kids, you know, rolling around on their heads. It wasn't as extreme as that, but it was pretty, you know, and it was white boys. There was no racist stuff in it, but I don't know enough about it because I really wasn't any, knew nothing about it. I'm just filling you in, so probably edit that out.
Well, I'm wondering what kind of pants were they wearing?
They were wearing sort of flat, they were wearing that sort of gear, but maybe a more basic flair because they were dance. They wouldn't have high waisters because they couldn't possibly do the kind of dancing they were doing.
Okay.
And they danced for about 6 hours, you know, speeding up.
Yeah, remember that band that was wearing kind of like funny, like kind of rural clothes in the maybe late 70s, early 80s?
The Fall.
Come on, Eileen. No,
sorry.
Dexedrine. That word for stimulant. Come on, Eileen. That was the big song.
Oh, Dexys Midnight Runners. he's totally conceptual, that guy, Kevin Rowlands. That look was a bit Northern Soul-y, but not really. And then he, come on, Eileen, he went on, there's a good story for you. Come on, Eileen, the girl that plays violin on that, you know, he had them all dressed in dungarees.
That's what it is, dungarees.
Yeah.
That's what we say in Navy housing for blue jeans.
Yes. And she, Mary Bevington, that he changed the name, I went to see David Bowie and do the Ziggy Stardust show with her. She was my elder sister's friend.
Oh, you're talking about that last gig?
No, 1973. Bowie do Ziggy Stardust.
Yeah, I thought the last gig, like he didn't tell the band, like he was just going to end it that night.
It was in Bristol, and it was that tour. Yeah. But how bizarre that she became really, you know, that was a very successful band, that Come On Eileen, and she was the main person in it.
Oh, wow. Now, the David Bowie on Soul Train, that was Young American, right?
That's Young American stuff, yeah.
Fame. I think they paid Jim Brown for that lick. They didn't come up with that lick.
It's a total rip-off, that one, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, I want to play A Full Moon Reflected in a Can of Blue Soup. That's a title.
What pretentious cunt wrote that?
You've been working it all night long. baby, I see. It's been wearing on you. Your heart is so broken. Busted in two. You know, all I do is think about you. In the street, under duress, oh, you're dressed to the teeth. Back when I knew you, I didn't know I loved you. Now I can't put above ya. Back when I knew you, I was resisting. But after all this time, you keep insisting. And all you do is, you say, all you do is, you say, all you do is think about me, baby. Well, I've known you since way back. Known you since way back when. Back when you didn't know what kind of trouble you could get yourself in. Oh, honey, I see. It's been wearing on you. Your heart is so broken. Busted in two. You know, all I do is think about you. Out in the street.
Thank you.
to appreciate. Won't you try it out at all to me alone? And you, well, I'd be the chaff for breaking the spell.
Peace and peace. Don't got it all, but we still grand for being like Mace. Seen this monster, break that bomb. Big, like, every five is up. Civilization. One in the chains, surrounded by angels, the bleed. Big bang, we go. Break the chains, and modern day slave, the unified nation. Peace and peace. Don't got it all, but still. Still grateful, feel like Macy's, his monsters, Frankenstein fall. Fake on, like we can get the fathers up. Civilization. In this pit pipeline, be a penny is my brother, like slave shits. No less. Zip, with the memes. As you rise, can't say shit now. Speaking to millions, misunderstanding, a waste of time. I pop some records, you know it is. Unknown, baby, just throw the doubt to the rules, stay true. One in the chamber, surrounded by angels, lovely. Big bang and we go. Break the chains of modern day slavery, unified nations. Peace and peace, don't get it all. We still grateful. Build like Macy's. Seen as monsters, Frankenstein, father, fake on. Like we ain't the fathers of civilization.
Carbon and cobalt, diamond electric cars. Stop killing African kids, that'd be a good start. That'd be the whole world, just like a great car. Under the hood is where it all sparks ingenuity. Like the oil spill in the water in Brazil, they tryna ruin me. Carbon needs by producing me. Papers and languages that don't represent the truth you seek. But send you on your way comfortably to the grave where you still gotta pay the late. On the grounds where your grandmama's mama slave. Lies of fears cannot run, love or truth. And everything under the sun in the spotlight on the universal stage. Amalgamation of color. This skin is both for the art and the earth, y'all made it.
Even to like how we look at using each other's experience, more so than like, you know, we're not focusing on that divine call to like real life. Be connected to this universe and create for it. So like downsides of being killed, you know, that's a form, that's one of the greatest forms of pollution.
Hey, Morris Michelangelo, moonwalk astronomers, don't got the digital, European critics who used to shit my mammy's boobs. Still relics to open museums, DFI by Griots, posted like Basquiat in the halls of hope. Maga nigga, Negro Naga, King cocking himself before they were ever settlers. Funky fly like bird feathers in the alley, piss splatter on my shoes like paint on my jealous. Replicas remain some social classes ahead of ya. Tell devils a secret so they can try to get rid of ya. Can't get rid of y'all, nah.
It's like, you wasting my, it's like, you built the phone just to become a black person, you know? Like the number one source of communication, you know?
And what you're doing here is of immense importance, because this generation will determine the life or death of the African people.
Civilization.
Carbon and cobalt, diamond electric cars. I kill an African kids, that'd be a good start. That'd be the whole world, just like a great car. Under the hood is where it all sparks ingenuity. Like the oil spill in the water in Brazil, they tryna ruin me. Covering needs by producing me. Papers and languages that don't represent the truth you seek. But since you on your way comfortably to the grave, where you still gotta pay the late. On the grounds of your grandmama's mama slave. Lies and fears cannot run, love or truth. And everything under the sun, the spotlight on the universal stage. Amalgamation of color. Love and skin is both for the art and the earth, y'all made it.
Even to like how we look at using each other's experience, more so than like, you know, you know, focusing on that divine call to like real life, be connected to this universe and create for it. So like downsides of being killed, you know, that's a form, that's one of the greatest forms of pollution.
Hey, Moorish Michelangelo, moonwalk like astronomers, don't got to be digital, European critics who used to shit my mammy's boobs. Still relics to open museums, deified by griots, posted like Basquiat in the halls of hope. Modern leader, Negro, Naga, King conquered himself before they were ever settlers. Funky fly like bird feathers, in the alley, piss bladder on my shoes, like paint on my jealous. Replicas, remains of social classes ahead of ya. Tell devils a secret so they can try to get rid of ya. Can't get rid of y'all, nah.
Is it, it's like, are you wasting my, like, it's like, you built a phone just to kill a black person, you know? Like, the number one source of communication, you know?
And what you're doing here is of immense importance. Because this generation will determine the life or death of the African people.
full moon reflected in a can of blue soup.
Then we heard the Numbers Band, 1560-75, Within Stride, brand new. Thank you, Harvey, for that. Aruba Avua, Duras Plumas. Thank you for telling Andrea for that. Laura Silver, Rising Comet. Well, Laurie Silva, maybe that's how you pronounce. Thank you for telling Stay for that. Alessandra Novaga, Dara Marikanish, Soldat, also for Tell State. Bomas Brendan, Prelude. Thank you, Steve Wall, for that. Some unheard stuff, or rarely heard. Also, I got turned on to Kim Cooper Complex with Petite Deja Vu. Orthotonics, Painting. Thank you, Bill. One of the Bomas Prendon Associates, Painting, and then from Italy, Quiet Pig, with Cock Rock City, Everybody Do the Dick Round. Yeah, we know that one, right? And Guided by Voices, brand new record, Bob Pollard, Stops and Company, his band, I should mention, Doug, Mark and stuff, Nappy Napa, his solo album, Angles of Light. And finally, Gary Sager, Take Off Your Wig and Let the Kissing Begin.
So this album.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this album. Last album you came on and talked about, it was kind of part of a power trio, right? Hungry Ghosts?
Yes. Gary Sager and Hungry Ghosts, yeah.
This one ain't called that.
Sorry?
This one just has your name.
Yeah, because it's actually all the backing tracks are recorded previous to the Hungry Ghost stuff. Mainly with a great guy that's been my right hand man for ages. He'd been the roadie for Head, been the sound man for Head, been the tour manager. And then in about 1992 or something, he started getting together a little home studio, like a lot of people did about early 90s. You know, the basic computer stuff was coming in, and what I suppose people would call lo-fi recording started, which was great for me because there was no record company in the world left that was going to put me in a hi-fi studio.
But didn't you have a little experience with? Maybe it was Virgin, some big label, right?
Yeah. No. I'm saying
something that had a trippy name.
I put out 9 albums on major labels.
Oh, okay. What was it called? It was like those Beatles, not Beatles, Monkeys.
They were called Head.
Head, like that movie.
And that was on Virgin, and you know they paid for decent videos, and you know we were on a wage and all that kind of crap, but you know they finally realized, these guys aren't going to fucking make a penny back. So dropped we were, and low-fi recording is here I come. So this great guy, Jonathan Seal, started building up his own little home studio, and I would pester him all the time to get around there and do stuff. And that ended up in 2 albums by this band we had called Pregnant. And then I started doing this solo stuff. So a lot of this stuff is recordings that I'd done back then with him and Douglas, who runs Creeping Bent, sort of reminded me when he'd come to the end of putting out the 3 other albums by me. He said, hey, there's some pretty good stuff in the trunk back there. If we just take it out and shine it up a bit, I think people would like that. And so, of course, for me, it's great. It's getting reviewed like it's a completely brand new album, which I take as great. You know, something I did 18 years ago with a bit of polishing up. Some of the tracks have been edited. It's all been remastered. A couple got new vocals on. But it's great. You know, I mean, it's the thing I've always loved. If you really work on a track, ultimately for me, it should be timeless. You know, you should never make a song that, well, this is going to sound great for the next year, next 6 months. You know, just make something that should be timeless. And I think that's why that great jazz that you played at Coltrane and Monk, that's why that stuff's timeless. Although a lot of it's improvised, the basics has got a very deep compositional part to it. So if you've got a very decent skeleton to hang a song on, or even, you know, like lots of these are instrumentals, then they'll stand the test of time as long as you don't, you know, you don't go with the latest gimmicky drum sound of the day or something like that, which is easy to do, and I've done it. So,
it happened to a Minutemen record. You know, the worst offender it seemed was that snare drum sound in the 80s.
That is the one I'm afraid that's on a few head tracks that are completely, a couple of great songs are slightly ruined by it, you know.
Right. And this kind of cannon shot kind of shit.
I did one of those albums in Boston. In fact, it was by Lowell, Jack Kerouac's hometown.
Lowell.
Michael Johnson, who was from the Johnson crew, that were the first guys, black guys, that picked up on the craft, that Kraftwerk made groovy beats. So, and there's an amazing Johnson crew track called Space is a Place, where they completely rip off the Sun Ra chant, and do it over a Kraftwerk beat. I doubt you've ever heard it. It was a vaguely big hit in it was on Sugar Hill. Anyway, I ended up working with him, and it was one of those completely bizarre scenarios where I wanted him to bring his Johnson crew Kraftwerk stuff into it. He wanted to make a rock album because he thought the 80s, that's where it was going. And he kind of got his way, so, which is a real pity, because one day, two good stories in this. The studio we were using, it was a residential one, I looked out the window and this guy turned up in the sort of most wrecked Chevy you've ever seen. And he got out and he's wearing chef's pants. You know, those black and white ones?
Sure.
The trousers you can buy. And I said, who's that? And he said, that's Jimmy Miller.
Oh, wow.
And Jimmy Miller was working in some tiny little studio underneath the one we were in. And I was thinking, like, that's the guy we should be recording. 2 years later, Primal Scream picked him up and got him to record about 3 big hits with him. So, anyway, that's another story.
But, so you mean some of these things go back to the early 90s, 80s?
No.
Not that far. Okay.
No, not that far.
Okay. Well, when you say something's in the trunk, you know.
Probably sort of Twin Towers time, 2001, yeah.
Okay, so about almost 20 years. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I know it would be good for me to make out it just came out yesterday, but, you know, I can't lie to that fan of mine.
No, that's okay. It's okay. In fact, you earned it, I think. You know, that's something.
Well, it's great for me because it works with that. Last time I was on your show, you know, you can put the two track, you can put the stuff together and it completely works. It sounds like me, you know, it's different colors, but it's me, you know, so, you know, all good stuff.
Yeah. In fact,
I had to doff my cap to Douglas, the guy that encouraged me to do it. You know, I mean, there was quite a lot of, maybe, you know, there's certainly been edits and mastering stuff that makes it sound more contemporary in a way. So I can't deny that.
You know, you being a piano player, what do you think of Thelonious Monk?
Thelonious Monk is absolutely, he's certainly my, you know, probably my, well, my favorite. I love Bill Evans, but he's my favorite piano, jazz piano player. I don't know the name of any classical people, so I'd probably have to say my favorite piano player, you know. I absolutely, he's my favorite, and I just love everything about him. I love, you know, when I first heard him, I was really young, I was about 16, and it just completely clicked with me. I didn't ever think, that's a wrong note, or why is he doing that? I mean, that sounds like a blow my own trumpet, but it's totally true. Just feel, melody, groove, rhythm.
He definitely had his own way of doing that too, voicing chords.
But they're great tunes as well, you know. And when he plays a regular tune, he does it beautifully. You know, it's remarkable chap, really. You know.
Now you know about the 9 months John Coltrane spent with him.
Well, I heard you say I've read my history on these things, but years ago. And you say John, he got off a gear at that time, but I think he started drinking pretty heavily.
He got punched at a gig. He was with Miles, and I think nodded. And backstage, Thelonious Monk was there, and he witnessed him getting socked, you know, and I think maybe even scissored him. And he said, "Miles, you shouldn't have done that." This is in the Quincy Troupe book. Here, you come and play with me. And so those 9 months, he, you know, plays with him, but he also gets off the shit. And he comes back, you know, for birth, a different kind of blue.
Yeah.
Right? He goes, does another Europe tour with Miles, and then he does his own band. But what was trippy about when he was doing those gigs with Thelonious Monk, when it came for him to solo, Monk would stand up and start dancing.
That was the thing, honestly, that was the thing as well, once I started as a young person hearing these stories about, you know, Thelonious Monk, he would just stand on the corner all day thinking up the tune, or, you know, like, sadly, in hindsight, as you get older, you realize the poor guy had serious mental issues.
Yeah, right.
You know, but the dancing's fantastic, and of course, Cecil Taylor took that up to a more extreme.
That's showbiz. but I got an interview with John Coltrane where they asked him about this. Right when it's happening, 1958, Augusta Bloom's talking to him, and he's like, "Well, you know, I was busy playing. I never saw him dance.
Right.
So I can't tell you." But interesting.
Every part of that is brilliant because, you know, that jazz had been typical when the whole player took the solo. The piano player would be doing the changes behind him. So to just sort of say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get up and dance."
Right. There was another interesting thing in this spiel. He says they would play a song, a minor song, but no one would ever hit the third.
Right.
It was all like in 10 or some. There was kind of ways that he learned. What he was saying was he learned.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff playing with Monk. That John Coltrane was always a student.
Yeah. Well, I think all great musicians are. I mean, it's with sort of Monk, you know, it was a space. I heard space in his music before I heard it in Miles Davis.
Yeah.
You know, it was like he really did leave out the note that you're expecting, which is absolutely brilliant, you know.
It is. You're talking about the idea of restraint.
Yeah, the space plays a melody. The space plays a melody in your head. You know, you hear that note, you know, so it's, you know, in the classical world, Eric Satie had sort of done it, and Monk just did it in a whole different idiom, probably unaware of Satie, I'd imagine.
Well, the other side of that record you did was Slits, where they say silence is a rhythm, too.
Yes. Ari was a great philosopher to her credit. And she was very, very sort of influenced by Jamaican Rastafarianism and stuff. But she picked out her own little things and was a very smart thinker. And it's a real pity that's not been taken up more, because it also had a bit of sort of what the average person would think, like Monk, is a bit crazy. But if, you know, if you listen closely, and she spoke in a German patois. So, I mean, that's pretty unique in itself.
Oh, yeah, her ma, that's right.
Her mom was German, but you know, when I first met Ari when she was about 15, and she had a very strong German accent because all she spoke to was her mom. They'd only been in England a couple of years. And then the next thing was she met all these dub reggae artists that she loved and Rastas, and she just took up their way of speaking. So she did, she ended up speaking with a German Jamaican accent.
That's a trip.
Yeah. And it was sort of musical in its own way. And you know, she went and lived, she had her twins with this Jamaican guy. She went out and lived there in Kingston and just got totally immersed in it. I mean, that Silence is a Rhythm too is an argument against word, you know, the word being the beginning of, you know, the biblical stuff. So, yes. Yeah,
that makes sense. That makes sense. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, December 15, 2020 edition. Watt Pedro Show special guest, Gareth Sager. Hold tight for hour two. December 15, 2020, second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Você também. Mas dá pra ter um papo gostoso com alguém. Ei, ei. Jimmy G, quem quer peça, quem fala, deixa sua palavra, pregar, quem quer. E não tô fazendo nada, você também. Vai pra bater um papo de gostoso como quem tem.
lost my girlfriend's ring. Russian, he was just trying to get somewhere quick. Wow. But a twinkle in his eye was a little falling star. He's for happiness in the iris of human existence. Boom, boom, boom. Flowering into blurry colors. Like Matisse on a Hong Kong holiday. Mr. Beluga was about to make peace with a long-legged stalk of fury. Thank you.
of the
Watch for Pedro. So we start off second hour. Gary Sager, quick fix, short attention span, man. Now,
what are you talking about?
Well, the span, you guys call wrenches spans.
Spanners.
That's it.
That's it. Well done.
Okay, I'm learning. And boots and windscreens and bonnets. Yeah, all the almost all
that's
the
really impressive, you know that.
Well, all the parts of the car are almost even spelled tire with a Y.
Hey, you'll like this one on which album? Juicy Rivers album.
Yeah.
That has a great line in it where it says it's a quote from people looking for wanted partners, and one of the lines is something like, Jock, the bagpipe player, everything under the bonnet is working.
Yeah, David Yao told me some joke. What's under the kilt? Your wife's lipstick. Bullshit.
That's a great one.
Is that a good one?
That's a great one. I've never heard that.
What do you find don't under us?
Yeah. Don't tell it to Mark Stewart. We're here for the next 8 years.
Yeah. And that's what she said.
Yeah.
Some guy in Berlin told me that he knows a guy who was working for him as an assistant and had to quit because the jokes were like driving him insane.
The one joke.
The joke. And we had Deksa Yuso Prala from Sam Bennett, Tokyo. Hamelon Trial with Together. Brute Force from Jerome Parker Wells in St. Louis. From South London, Pineapple Empress with The King of Rings. And nearby there, Mint Douche with Smoking Fucking Wild. Or Smoking Fucking World. They left out Valves. Finally, Gareth Sager with The Drug Slug with Kangaroo Blood.
So,
let's get back to this album here. Now, your buddy, he gave you all these little, what do you say over there, bits and bobs. That's it, bits and bobs.
No, we worked on them back in the day, and then I listened through to them a lot, and there's some, then Douglas, the guy that runs Creeping Bent.
Yeah.
Sort of picked through. There's some tracks that aren't, believe it or not, that there is quality control. There's some tracks that aren't on it and some I would have wanted on, but he didn't. So then we went through them. I decided of ways of tidying them up. All you put me through, my great friend Davey Henderson, who was in this amazing band called The Fire Engines.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, band called Win, Nectarine Number 9, I played with a bit.
Is that the Hungry Wolf guy? I mean, Hungry Ghost guy?
He sings on a couple of tracks on that, yes. Okay. Yeah. And he has been singing that All You Put Me Through song in it live occasionally for the last 20 years. So I thought it was a great chance to put him on it. And so we did that, and he sang it absolutely beautifully. I mean, it's great, because to his credit, he was the one that actually pointed out to me what a good song it was. So, because he started doing it live with his bands and stuff. And so that was a great sort of little payback thing to sort of say, well, why don't you get it in the studio? And it's had a decent bit of play on BBC over here. So it sort of keeps him in the loop, because, with this shutdown thing, us lower league acts, it's hard.
You ain't lower league to me.
It's just been hard for us to do. We're not the sort of guys to have home studios and stuff, so it was great to get him in on that. He went to one of his friend's home studios and we put the vocals on. So, but it's great, because for me, it's always, there's no linear way in anything I've done. Like, I think probably when I talked to you about the piano, I've been doing that since before anything else. And if everybody listens to the first pop group album, Savage Sea, is just me playing piano with Mark. This was the height of, it wasn't even post-punk by then. So, which of course I felt was a real punk act to sort of do play solo piano.
But there's some ocean sounds.
There's lots of stuff. There's a harmonium in there. I just saw a harmonium in a junk shop around here, and I was so tempted to buy it. But, you know, it just takes up space. But it's a very amusing thing. In the junk shop, it said electric organ.
The big harmonium player was Nico, right? That's what she played at her gigs. Yeah.
You know, I was very close to Nico. So I've had Nico play her harmonium in my flat. But she didn't have a big proper one like that. She had an Indian one that you know, initially. And then Patti Smith bought her one because she got Nico's one that she first got, which was a hand pump one, got stolen. Oh. And so she did end up playing one with foot pumps. But on Savage Sea, I am playing the one that I bought at 18 years old that's got foot pumps. So yeah, no, there's that. I think there's some of my Ornette Coleman violin playing on it. So you're right, it's not a solo piano thing, but compared to,
band and stuff. Yeah. No, but see, you know, to me, you guys were validation that it was a real movement. It wasn't just a fucking trendy thing.
Of course, that to be really honest, Mike, that's been my big shock with this re-release of the Y album and remastered. I was a little bit shocked that it was not being acknowledged quite in the light that you see it. That, like, people give a lot of credit to Public Image, which to me is still sort of quite straight rock music, very heavy colour sounds and stuff. Credit to them, and of course, you've got Johnny Rotten, who was very, very famous and poignant at that time. But musically, you know, the Gang of Four at the same time as the pop group. Yeah. Come on, give me a break, man.
I know. Really. I want to play Hippie Mama Run Away and Hide in a Wigwam.
Thank you.
Starting off that chunk of music, we had Gareth Sager, Hippie Mama Runaway and Hide in a Wigwam. Then Good Fuck with What Day Is It? Mom Tells Me from Waku Waku Kingdom. Sorry. Ear Diorama Ear with Ide 2D22010. That's a title. Over from Troopa Troopa. They're from Danzig. And finally, Gareth Sager with Scar Repairs for Lonely Moths. Justice. No justice.
I know there's no justice, but it just seems to me, if you stuck around as long as people like you and I have,
yeah,
the sort of truth would out. And it's just, I've just never understood. I accept that people like the Gang of Four and Joy Division make much more easy, more commercial type stuff, but for a sort of step forward into the void and you know, opening up new channels, why is kind of unbeatable.
Yeah,
you know?
And, absolutely.
And I say that not in any, you know, I'd be the first one. The whole point is it is punk because we didn't know how to play. We were just saying, this is what's out there, you know, and go out and explore. And, you know, of course, I know there's more experimental music. I'm completely aware of that. But, you know, being part of that movement, which we very much were, it's just that, you know, I've taken it on the chin now like a man, so I can...
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, the reality on the dealio was, yeah, what's it going to be about? Is taking stuff into your own hands in, you know, your situation there in Bristol, and you guys were still teenagers. I thought you were hard chargers, man. You know, because to me, the big whatever antithesis was the fucking arena rock, you know, and yeah, club rock in smallness and being able to put on music where you could take chances, where you could make your band a petri dish and experiment with it instead of going through all the tropes and the fucking cliche.
Yeah. Well, that was the to his credit, I think two people, John Rotten and Mark Perry, were the instigators that sort of implied go out and do what's kind of individual to you.
Yeah.
But sadly, everybody just, so many people just ended up doing this very, you know, corny sort of copyist stuff, you know, so.
Absolutely. Mark Perry, he's the alternative television guy, right?
That's right. Yeah, no, he's a brilliant guy.
And I love those records. How much longer?
He's a real special guy. He's still going. He was one of those guys that sort of, you know, care. You know, he's sort of, I think he's a sort of care nurse from very early on, and just carried on doing it. And you know, he sort of knew that sort of music was only going to be some sort of funny kind of luxury for him, and he was actually going to find something that he's a great guy, Mark. He's a great guy, got great taste.
And he also had that magazine, right?
Yeah, they weren't quite so much my cup of tea, but I think Barry Adamson's quite an interesting guy.
Barry, the bass man?
Yes, yeah.
I saw him with Magazine when the singer quit the Buzzcocks and made a band called Magazine.
Yes, yeah.
He played the Whiskey. It was right around when Bruce played with Slits.
Right, well, we supported Magazine, the pop group.
Oh, wow, okay. It had like the Susie guy and... Who died way too young, right? He was a really good player.
Yeah. No, they certainly, but they were just much more rock, you know, and sort of to his credit, he had very interesting lyrics. And I love that first Spiral Scratch Buzzcocks.
Oh, yeah. Where he's singing instead of Pete. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's a great album.
I got to meet the guy, Richard Boone, their manager guy.
Richard Boone ended up working for Rough Trade. I think even at the time when the pop group did How Much Longer. I think Richard had started working there. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. He was redhead.
What they call him, ginger.
Over there.
Ginger, yeah. Ginger Geezer.
I found out that's why that drummer man is called Ginger Baker, because of his hair.
Yeah.
I never knew.
You thought it was something to do with bread, did you?
Of course, I'm an idiot. Slow learner, what? We're at the end of the second hour, December 15, 2020, the Schwab Pedro Show.
Ginger Rogers comes from her being a redhead.
Is that right?
I would have thought so.
Oh, well, fuck. The only thing new is you finding out about it, what? Anyway, special guest, Gareth Sager, hold tight for our
secret true detective. This is quite an angry Scotsman. Is
oh, yeah, they're pretty good. December 15, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
At the roots of the apple tree. Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats.
Thank you. After all, you put me
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the third hour with Those Sons of Witches Were Too Tightly Wrapped from Gareth Sager. Another Umbrella with Funk in the Big City. Whatever. For Music with My Insane Friend. And finally, All You Put Me Through, Gareth Sager.
We've got 2 hours to spend, right? Burrito, huh?
Raro,
yeah.
Is there any light at the end of the tunnel for you doing gigs?
Yeah, but it's a long-ass tunnel. Okay, we start off, Those Sons of Witches Were Too Tightly Wrapped.
Right.
Now, there is some, you know, you would have said sons of bitches, and but we do say about people that are wrapped a little too tight. Well, what we say is wound. Wound.
Right. Yes, yeah. Yeah. No. This is a crazy thing I do with words. I kind of get it all wrong. I'm sort of mildly
not all wrong, but you know, you're in the ballpark.
I think it is wound. I think you're right, but poetically, I decided tightly was going to be.
And it's like a guy.
I couldn't remember why I'm doing it.
Well, the way we use it here, it's a guy who seems like he has it together, but you can tell he's just ready to fucking go off. You know.
That's a great, great description of the majority of English, but I had a great New York friend who was very much too tightly wound. So, there's maybe a little hint at him in that. So
it's maybe, we were talking about the war years, it's like walking around a minefield. Like, you don't know when the motherfucker's going to pop, you know, so.
Yeah, a wee bit like that. You just know they're holding something in, you know, that is really unhealthy for them, really unhealthy for them.
Right.
You know, let it out for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, even if it hurts us, it's better out than what the fuck it's held into. Doing to you inside, you know.
Festering and, yeah, incubating and shit. Oh, man. Yeah. So tell me about, I mean, these tunes, when they were sitting in the trunk, they didn't have titles, right?
Sorry, say that again?
When these tunes were sitting in that trunk from 20 years ago, they didn't have titles. So what's the process?
No. Well, unbelievably, and this sounds like I'm completely making it up, and if there's other people with it, but it's great. Chap mate of mine, Jonathan Steele, that's the co-producer on this, he found a load of lyric notes that he had hung on. This sort of thing, I'll go out the studio and leave everything behind, including my underpants. So he had not picked up my underpants, but he's picked up the lyrics I left behind. And there was a list of different things, different lyrical ideas, because sometimes I work like that, just have a whole sheet in front of me and pick what seems to be best at the time. And I think the majority of those titles are taken from a few of these lyric sheets.
Okay.
Short Attention Span Man is actually part of the lyric in that song.
So in a way, they are kind of about what they're about.
They are, yes, yeah. There's no, it's Scar Repairs for Lonely Moss is a lyric. High Wasters it has a lyric on another version, and that is a lyric. So I'm not sort of dodging and diving as quite as much as it looks. And on Hippie Mama, although I'm using one of those terrible voice things, I do actually sing Hippie Mama Run Away and Live in a Wigwam, which I'm so old, I know people that did do that.
Well, I was told, like, that area just west of Halifax, where that Salisbury Bridge and Hebron Bridge and all that was all abandoned textile stuff, and hippie people moved into there in the 70s.
I know the real area is South Wales. That's where there's actually people called the Wigwam people, the teepee people they're called. And the hippie movement bought a load of teepees and lived in Wales in the teepees.
Jesus. Must have been cold as a motherfucker. That's
100% genuine, well known. And I think they sort of had a leader guy. Certainly, a pop group played Glastonbury in 1979, and I think the TP people were there, but they certainly were, after we played Glastonbury, 2 days later, us and the Slits went and played Stonehenge, and this was Stonehenge, not the Spinal Tap Stonehenge, but Stonehenge before it had the fences around it, so you literally...
Right, right, you could go up there.
But they had a free festival that was put on, and this was when, by this point, Mark Perry, Alternative TV, had hooked up with this very, very extreme hippie band called Here and Now, who's one of the main guys ended up being the sound man for the Fall for years and years. And another guy called Kif Kif was part of a great band called World Domination, which you just may have heard of.
Not really. But I remember he had something called the Good Missionaries.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's Mark Perry. But that's, he hooked up with this super, as ATV, they hooked up with this super hippie band called Here and Now, okay, that had access to the Stonehenge Free Festival. And they invited us there to go and play. And because we'd just done Glastonbury, we did go over there. And that's where all... You know, people must have photos of it, but nobody used to take photos back in the day. So you had this festival that was a load of the teepee people. So you could have got a shot of Stonehenge. There's something like 40 teepees sent up. Hell's Angels, the British Hell's Angels. And, you know, the first bunch of those hippies that let their kids wear dreadlocks. And they had a tiny little put-up stage. And I always remember going up on stage. And I think me and Ari went up. A couple of other people, and there were literally 4-year-old kids on the side of the stage smoking big spliffs. I think our set lasted about 6 minutes.
Oh, shit.
It's true.
No, no, I'm not doubting it. I mean, you know, truth be told.
That was a heavy scene, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
TP people at Stonehenge.
TP people. I want to play My Little Brother in a Family Way.
Oh, yeah.
sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, mothers, we have outside, 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 outside.
Last music for this edition, my little brother in the family way from Kara Sager let it off. Then number one from Tolum, Tatsuya Nakatani. Number one's a title. Not a lot of imagination. Probably his first one they did together. Next episode we do number two, huh? And then Groove Crater Method. That's a name. Brother Phil has several prod names, but this is one he used for Coincident 25. In which version? Well, it's the No Wave Desert Landscape version. Gareth, tell me about irony.
I mean, the Kinks and stuff are quite ironic.
Yeah, right. That Preservation Council kind of shit. He was.
Yeah, well, Beck the Follower of Fashion is most definitely an ironic lyric.
And the one with my name in it, David Watts.
Oh, yes. But that's just a cheat. My one is just like you're saying, you know, like, how can a brother be in the family way, man?
What's it called? It's called euphemism, right? Because you don't want to say the real thing. Right? You say the bathroom. Yeah, a very small tub. The restroom. Yeah, not a lot of rest.
It's got good lyrics, that song.
But over in Europe, this first time I saw a water closet. Oh, yeah, this is where we store the water. The water closet. This ain't the shitter, right? This ain't the pisser. This is the water closet.
They're, believe it or not, in Britain now, they're all unisex toilets now.
Yeah,
which I would have. Yeah, I'd have never thought you could do. You know, like in a coffee shop where sort of over 70s people go, you've got to use a sex toilet.
Okay, probably revolution. Was like
revolution is in the WC.
Well, you know what? It was probably that way a long, long time ago, you know. I think the segregation thing was just a brief blip.
Just had the dung heap to go on.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Up the fucking hatch, up the window. So
that's why London stunk so much, and that's where all the plagues came from. People literally threw their shit out.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. And people say the good old days. Jesus Christ.
My great friend Jock Scott says, they're the good old days because they're good and gone.
That's it. Totally.
You take that one.
I like it. You got a brilliant friend. Brilliant. That's the word. Do you have stuff still in the trunk?
The trunk's pretty bare.
So the next record's going to be have to be new stuff, right?
The new stuff is the thing I would have hoped that sort of in 6 months I would have been talking about that, but I've been in the studio 3 times this year. There's been lots of stuff I've been able to do by people doing it in their homes and stuff like that. And so I'm not going to be too, but I've got a really shit hot album in the oven.
Whoa.
This is a motherfucker.
Whoa. What
I really need to get is somebody who's got a tiny bit of money, that finding anybody in the whole of Europe with a tiny bit of money is going to be virtually impossible, because I sort of know I can get it to a certain degree, and then I probably need somebody else to get involved. So yeah, it's going to be a tough one, but it's great. It's great. It's, you know.
Yeah, but if you got to start, man, I mean, that's how.
Todd Rogan says, if you can get to 60 in the music business, then it's freewheeling all the way up. Him and his millions in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a lady was playing bass for him. I met him in St. Louis once after a gig. He came and said hi. But I think he's got a studio up in Woodstock, right?
No idea. I just know he lives in Hawaii.
I think so.
He's got such hardcore fans, including my great friend Ian, that plays in The Hungry Ghosts, that he just puts on gigs and he just can perform any part of his career and he'll sell out the gig.
Whoa.
They all come to see it, you know, whether it's the love songs or the prog rock. You know, he's got that incredible fan base where they come out for anything.
You know, Why couldn't somebody like Orson Welles have something like that? You read about their story and it's tragic.
Yeah. Well, he probably did that thing. He probably fell out with a lot of the wrong, right people, you know, in the right places.
I read, he said something once where he said, I have an unfortunate personality.
Well, you see, I have learned that.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not the same like that, but I don't toady up to the right people. That's always been my problem, you know, and being fucking unsuccessful and kind of commercial. But, you know, if you speak to the certain right people in the right place, you maybe go to dinner with the right people in the right place, it can help.
Yeah, well, you think there's a shortcut?
Well, there's no shortcut.
Okay.
There's no shortcut, but there's ways of making it easier in certain places. There's no shortcut. God, I'm the greatest example of that.
You're talking more about shooting yourself in the foot?
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm happy that it's taken this long, that I genuinely think the stuff that I'm, you know, it's great to do the solo album. It's great to have people like you recognizing that.
Yeah.
There's, I told you last time, there's another piano album I recorded at Abbey Road. So I've got to get that out. That's a quartet album. That's got bass, cello and saxophone on it.
Wow.
Not played by me. Thank God. And, so that's beautiful, that album.
But you're still playing sax, right?
Well, I don't think you call it playing sax, what I do. I know I've stuck to my punk ethic with a saxophone.
Okay.
That's the one thing I absolutely refuse to learn, you know, the sadly with the guitar, I sort of know a few chords now and a few scales, but saxophone, no, I'm absolutely at...
moving air. You're just moving air.
It's all emotion, yeah. It's all sad. Which it all is anyway, you know.
You know what? When you get down to it, you're exactly right, Gary.
Yeah, that's it. You just got to have the balls to admit that, you know, you can move sound in this way and it's not... I heard the pop group, Reform Pop Group, did a gig in Iceland in an amazing concert hall. And John Grant was playing with a classical orchestra at the same evening. And I heard this trumpet player tuning up. And I don't think I've ever heard a purer note in my life. And it sounded shit.
Shows to go, yeah.
That sounds awfully convoluted. That's going to
do. Well, on that note, I have to say...
Well, Davis doesn't play very many pure notes, I can tell you that.
In fact, he liked to mute it a lot of the times, right?
And things slur. When you hear a pure note by a classicist, it's like none of us punk rock, you know, it's like what a guitar, you know, all these bands like Muse or Coldplay, they put their guitar through the guitar tuner and they go, oh, it's gone blue, it's in tune. What's it in tune with? You know? It's in tune with a little fucking batteries. Get in tune with life, baby.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, props, right? Human beings and their props to make sure that they're aware they're alive.
Well, I am pretty sure with rock music, let's just call it that, that the not perfect tuning is the absolutely... All the great Iggy tunes, all the great Stones tunes, none of them are in tune. You know? Not by classical standards. Nowhere near it.
No.
And that's the beauty of it, because notes are blending into each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what, when you digitalize these things, when the CDs first came out, it sounded so horrific.
Yeah, flat.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible.
So I looked a bit of a rant there.
Anyway, I can't wait to hear this new record. Somehow it's got to come out and come back on the show. Well, you get anything. This piano record, I'd love to hear. This quartet.
Well, I know you're not editing, but I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you as a while. So.
Okay, thank you so much. And it's always inspiring, man. You always get me lit every time I hear you talk about music. I'm ready to go at it as soon as we get done here. Thanks for being on. And can't wait till next time, Gareth.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. So amazing to know there's somebody out there doing what you're doing. It's absolutely, you know, whether it's seeing you play with Iggy or, you know, telling you you're doing 5 shows a week. I mean, like, that, you know, as you say, people you have never heard of, that's absolutely fantastic, man. You know, doff my cap to you. Oh. Is that English or American?
Doff. Doff.
French, I think.
Yeah, I like French. Well, thank you so much, Gareth, truly.
Yeah.
People, it's been the December 15, 2020 edition of Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.